This is Paulette Demchuk-McClory, a.k.a. Pavlina, inviting you to join me for an hour of great Ukrainian music and more, coming to you from beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. From Saskatchewan, that was a group called Tout y Tam, which means here and there. And that song was called Lemko, and Lemko refers to a region in Ukraine, which now is pretty much borders Poland and Ukraine, the Carpathian Mountain area. Again, Tout y Tam and Lemko. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, над вами в радіопередачу «Наш голос» у прекрасній місті Ванкувері. Дякую, що рішили перебутися зі мною наступну годину. Hello there, and welcome to Nash Holos, broadcasting from Vancouver, Canada, for the Happy Station Show on the PCJ Media Network. I'm Pavlina Demchuk-McQuarrie, your host, and I'm delighted to have you with me tonight. Whether you're listening on the radio, via the web stream, live, or time-shifting via podcast, welcome, vitayu, as we say in Ukrainian. And I do hope you'll enjoy your time with us here on Nash Holos. We have a great program lined up for you on Ukrainian Food Flair. Judy has a uniquely Ukrainian salad recipe, and it is totally yummy. Vasil Pavlovsky's Cultural Capsule will have feature a profile on one of the hot new singers on Ukraine's jazz scene. And Irina Bell, producer of the Ukrainian Hour radio program in Ottawa, will tell you about the Ukrainian Robin Hood. As well, an interview with Randall Maggs, Newfoundland author and a recipient of the 2010 Cobser Literary Award for his book on the legendary NHL goalie Terry Sawchuk. We'll also have a proverb of the week for you, other items of interest, and plenty of great Ukrainian music. And coming up now, speaking of hockey, here are the Kubasonics from Edmonton with a story of another hockey legend from about that era of Terry Sawchuk. This guy had the fastest hat trick. He is in the Hockey Hall of Fame. His name is Billy Mosienko. Here's the story now.
March 23rd in the year of 52, when the Blackhawks and the Rangers dropped the puck. The remarkable record set there on that day was a combination of speed and skill
From the frozen Red River in the north end of Winnipeg to the city of Chicago off the far, a speedy right winger named Billy Mosienko became one of the Blackhawks' biggest stars. Each time that he saw the NHL book of records, Billy dreamed of seeing his name among the greats. That night in March, when the Blackhawks skated out into the gardens, Billy would not have long to wait. Billy, Billy, Billy Mosienko, he'd get the fastest hat trick ever scored. Billy, Billy, Billy Mosienko, his record would live on forevermore. Hawks burst in across the line. Billy took a pass from his center, Gus Bodner, and slapped in a goal at 6:09. After that goal, there was a face-off at center. Bodner won the draw and hit Bill with a pass. Billy streaked across the blue line, shot and scored at 6:20. Just 11 seconds had elapsed. Bodner won the next draw and passed the puck to George Key, who spotted Billy breaking in towards the net. Billy fired the puck again. The red light flashed at 6:30. 21 seconds, the fastest hat trick yet. Billy, Billy, Billy Mosienko, he got the fastest hat trick ever scored. Billy, Billy, Billy Mosienko, his record would live on forevermore. Time that Billy's hockey playing days were done, 258 goals for his lifetime tally. Then he went into business in his hometown of Winnipeg, opening his own bowling alley. Now there's a life-size photo of Billy at the entrance to the world-famous Hockey Hall of Fame. And there's a giant bowling pin in Winnipeg's north end advertising Billy Mosienko Lane. He got the fastest hat trick ever scored. Billy, Billy, Billy Mosienko, his record would live on forevermore. Billy, Billy, Billy Mosienko, just 21 seconds earned him fame. Billy, Billy, Billy Mosienko, the hockey world will always know his name. Billy, Billy, Billy Mosienko.
The English-Ukrainian Directory is a unique and valuable resource guide to Canada's Ukrainian community. Publishing since 2000, it's the only one of its kind in Western Canada. In it, you'll find information about community organizations, schools, artists, dance groups, musicians, choirs, churches, businesses and professionals, government, and more. It's distributed free of charge and also offers free online search and information links. To find out more about the English-Ukrainian Directory, visit eudirectory.net.
Ой, чорна я си чорна, ой, чорна як циганка. Два, три, чотири. Чим си полюбила, чорнявого Іванка. Чим си полюбила, чим си полюбила, чорнявого Іванка. Іванка та Іванка, Іванка полюбила. Високий та стрункий, сорочка вишиванка. Високі та струнки, високі та струнки, сорочка вишиванка.
Люблю тебе, Марусю, люблю я твою вроду. Люблю, дивитися, як ти йдеш по воду. Люблю, дивитися, як ти йдеш по воду. Як ти йдеш по воду, як ти йдеш з водою. Люблю, дивитися, Марусю, за тобою. Люблю, дивитися, Марусю, за тобою.
На горі два дубочки, обидва зелененькі. Ми такі паровані, обоє чорнявенькі. Ми такі паровані, обоє чорнявенькі.
And an American country singer who recorded this wonderful album of Ukrainian folk songs to commemorate her Ukrainian roots. Her name is Sonia. She's from Nashville. The CD title is Vid Shiroho Seretsya, From the Heart, and that number was a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Oi Chorna, Yasu Chorna, I Am a Dark-Eyed Beauty. Up next, a Canadian performer by the name of Vasil Popadyuk. He's actually formerly of Ukraine. He is a virtuoso violinist. And here he is now with rather un-Ukrainian sounding number, but delightful nonetheless. Here he is now with Late Night Jam.
Thank you.
And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Judy Finenko of Prairie Cottage Pierogies in Langley. Tips for Ukrainian cooking in today's world. Now, here's Judy.
Vitaimo and welcome to Ukrainian Food Flair. Onions are used in cooking in practically every country in the world. In Ukraine, where it is called cibulya, onion has long been considered one of the most indispensable vegetable flavorings. Onions come in many varieties, varying in shape, size, weight, color, and pungency. The cause of the onion's strong smell and flavor is a volatile oil rich in sulfur compounds. Because it causes crying without real cause, in Ukrainian folklore, the cibulya is a symbol of hypocrisy. She rubbed her eyes with onions is said about someone who pretends to cry. A tip to remember to avoid tears, which are nonetheless real, peel onions under running water. In the meantime, here's a recipe for onion salad, courtesy Savella's Ukrainian Deli in Winnipeg. This salad is always a pleasant surprise to skeptics who think of onions only in terms of its strong flavor and smell. It's tangy and crunchy and an absolute delight to the taste buds. It's really quite simple. All you do is marinate sliced onions in a sweet and sour brine overnight, then dress it up. For this brine, you will need a half a cup of water, a half a cup of vinegar, 3/4 cups of sugar, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. Use sweet onion and slice it very thin. A bit of red onion adds nice color. The brine keeps for a long time in the fridge, so you can make the salad in smaller batches if you like. Bring the brine ingredients to a boil to dissolve the sugar. Cool, then pour over onion slices. Allow to marinate for at least 5 hours or overnight. Remove onion from brine and drain well. Toss gently with mayonnaise to taste and sprinkle with celery seeds. До побачення and смачного!
Thanks, Judy. Join us again next week for another recipe and cooking tip with Judy Finenko on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Radio. You're listening to Nash Holos Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver, Canada on the PCJ Media Network.
And now, did you know? Чи Did you know that Ukraine has its own Robin Hood? His name was Ustim Kermeluk, and he was born a serf in 1787 in Podilla. Sent into the army in 1812, he deserted and began organizing rebel bands and leading them in raids on aristocrats' and merchants' estates. He was captured and, after escaping, organized peasants' rebellions against the exploitation by the landowners. Kermeluk became a folk hero, and in the 1830s, the insurrections he inspired spread and involved up to 20,000 peasants in 1,000 raids. Whatever was captured in those raids was handed over to the poor villagers, who invariably gave Kermeluk shelter and assistance. He was captured, escaped, sent to Siberia, and escaped. In the end, Kermeluk was ambushed by the magnate Rutkowski and killed in 1835. His struggle was immortalized in countless Ukrainian sayings and folk songs and in the works of writers and composers.
And many thanks to Irena Bell for sharing Chisna Leve, Did You Know, with us. You can catch Irena's program, The Ukrainian Hour, in Ottawa on Sundays and Tuesdays on Chin Radio Ottawa, if you happen to live in the area. That's 97.9 FM. And if you don't live in Ottawa, it's also streaming on live at chinradioottawa.com. Broadcast times have changed as of this month. They are now 2 p.m. Sundays, Eastern Standard Time, and 12 noon Tuesdays, also Eastern Standard Time.
Мої очі збудились і сну, щоб я була тебе так не любила, як день, так ніч була тебе, щоб я була тебе так не любила, як день, так ніч була б я вечорки, а він другий подав житі ручку і обіцяв. життя, з нею женитися, щоби вона була так тобі мила, як мені нинішне моє життя, щоби вона була так тобі мила, як мені нинішне моє життя.
And that blast from the past comes to you courtesy the Kalena Trio. This is a group from Toronto that made that vinyl recording back in about the 1970s, early 1970s, I'd say, because it talks about their debut in Buenos Aires in 1971, as well as other performances they had done in the local area at various venues, as well as on radio and TV. And that song, very appropriately for this time of year, seeing as spring has just sprung, that song was Anna Visni, which means in the spring. Up next, something rather more contemporary here is a profile coming up courtesy of Vasil Pavlovsky, and he is going to tell you all about one of the hottest young singers on Ukraine's jazz scene. The group is Chocolat, and the singer's name is Dana Vinitsky. Here's Vasil to tell you all about her now.
Hello, I am Vasil Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holz. A bit less than a year ago, I met an old friend and lead man of Ukrainian group Madfi Pivin, Dead Rooster, at one of my favorite Kiev haunts. He handed me a copy of the band's latest CD called Made in UA, a collection of music written to the poetry of contemporary Ukrainian poet Yuri Andrukhovich. Mikhailo Barbara then went on to extol the vocal virtues of one young female singer he had the benefit to collaborate with. He then invited me to their 20th anniversary concert to be held in a newly opened club in the lower depths of the Lviv Opera House called Left Bank. Later, when in Lviv on business, I arrived at the club for the concert. There were very few places left to sit. An old friend of mine invited me to sit at his table and introduced me to Dana Vinitska, lead vocalist of the jazz group Chocolat, who later joined the Roosters to sing back vocals. Things had come full circle, and Dana and I walked out of the club together, and over time I got to know a new face and voice on the Ukrainian jazz scene. On March 16th, it was Dana Vinitska's birthday, which I'm sure she spent in the good company of fellow musicians and friends. Together with fellow band members, Dana is a graduate of the Mykola Lysenko Music Academy in Lviv. And after experiencing the sound of jazz at the Jazz Bez Festival in Lviv in 2004, they decided that this was a genre of music they liked. Since then, Chocolat continues to develop and has released 3 CDs, arrangements of Ukrainian and Polish poets, as well as jazzified versions of traditional folk songs, and over time have garnered a following of steadily growing fans in Poland, where they perform at musical festivals regularly, in their hometown Lviv, as well as other parts of Ukraine, and well beyond its borders. A great example of such an arrangement is a work that Chocolat has yet to record, though they perform it as part of their live program. Dana makes it perfectly clear that Leon Tovich's Carol of the Bells has been adopted by many different cultures. To get a bit of a feeling of what it was like to experience Chocolat live, check out my review of one of their Kyiv concerts on my blog entry of July 4th, 2009. My blog can be found at uamuzik.blogspot.com. I hope that Dana and her fellow band members continue to write vibrant and contemporary ethno-jazz for years to come. I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this week's cultural capsule cast a glimpse into the live and bubbly Dana Vinitska, lead vocalist of the ethno-jazz group Chocolat.
And here is a song by Chocolat featuring Dana Vinitsky, or Vinitska, which is the proper way, Ukrainian way of saying her name. And here she is now with Chocolat and a song called Nivka, which means cornfield. To the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for over 45 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing arts and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Holis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, contact the Shevchenko Foundation at 204-944-9128, toll-free 1-866-524-5314, or visit ShevchenkoFoundation.com. Meet new Ukrainian singles online at www.strilka.tv. Connect with other single Ukrainian women and men in your area. Strilka is private, safe, and free. Click when you want, where you want, and on your terms. Submit a profile and start connecting today. Strilka, the new Ukrainian singles network. www.strilka.tv. That's STRILKA.TV. You're listening to Nash Holis Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver, Canada, on the PCJ Media Network. The Biennial Kobzer Literary Award, sponsored by the Taras Shevchenko Foundation, recognizes outstanding contributions to Canadian literary arts through the author's presentation of a Ukrainian-Canadian theme with literary merit. Janice Kulik-Kiefer, author of The Ladies' Lending Library, was the recipient of the 2008 Kobzer Literary Award. This year, it was renowned Canadian author Randall Maggs for his acclaimed hockey saga, Night Work, the Sawchuk Poems. This book recounts the personal and public life of Terry Sawchuk, the premier goalie in the era of the original Six National Hockey League. Sawchuk was a Ukrainian boy from Winnipeg who made good and made many Canadians proud, whether of Ukrainian extraction or not, whether hockey fans or not. Randall Maggs is a poet, editor, artistic director of Newfoundland's March Hare Festival and a professor of literature at Memorial University. He joins me now by telephone from his home in Newfoundland. Hello, Randall, and thanks for joining us.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and congratulations on this wonderful award.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great to me. It's a lucrative money award, but I'll tell you, the thing I really prize is the small statue of the Kobzar. I mean, the money will get spent, but that that statue, Leo Moles, it's a miniature of the Kobzar. That really meant something to me, and what a time I had getting on the airplane.
Oh, I'll bet.
yeah. Well, I wasn't leaving it in my suitcase, I'll tell you that.
No kidding.
yeah.
So was the award a surprise to you?
Yes, it was. There was one person of the four that I thought was a shoe-in for it. So, yes, it was a surprise, very pleasant surprise, but I wasn't expecting it.
Now, what inspired you to write this book about Terry Sawchuk?
Well, I had played a good part of my hockey in Winnipeg, and of course that's where Terry's from.
Right.
So on the same rinks as him, up at the north end of Winnipeg, we go up and play against a lot of these, a lot of the teams, and Elmwood, I think, was there, or East Kildonan would have been the area where he grew up, and so we just always knew about him, and I kind of got away from the game for a while. You always knew there was something at the end of his career that never got properly explained, and that kind of, you know, that back my mind for years, and then I guess it was, oh God, I stopped watching hockey when the six-team league folded up, and it wasn't until in the 1990s my son got me interested in it again. I'd always watched the international, and I was doing a reading out in Saskatoon, staying with a friend in Allen, Saskatchewan, and on the way into Saskatoon to do the reading, we went by the small town of Floral, which is the most famous birthplace of any hockey player in the history of the game. That's Gordie Howe's birthplace.
Ah.
And I saw the name up on the grain elevator, and it just kind of hit me right between the eyes like a crowbar, and it just kind of took me back into my past, and it sort of was born out of that.
Okay, and then you've got a hockey background. You said you watched hockey, but you also played hockey.
Yes, I did. Yes, I played. Well, I played a junior, you know. But I didn't have the kind of skills you need to break into the six-team league. I'm not sure if I even had the nature for it. My brother played professionally. He was 5 years younger than I am, and he came up and played 12 years in the NHL and WHA. So we're a hockey family, for sure.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. So this is a book of poems, which makes sense because you're a poet and a literature prof. Mm-hmm. The poetry is pretty gritty, though, but it's a short form of writing, and that fits with the abbreviated sort of communications now that we're becoming used to with the Internet. But I'm a writer myself, and I know that easy and fast to read is often the very opposite to write. Mm-hmm. So how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, you know, I had a lot of other things going at the same time. I spent a lot of time in Ireland, and I was putting together with a colleague from here and another from Ireland two anthologies in that period. So I had a lot of other projects on, but I really spent 10 years on that off and on, working out of the Hall of Fame. And it was a project I never tired of. It was my refuge, really. I talked to a lot of people. It was just the kind of thing that you couldn't rush. I needed to talk to a lot of people. What I was trying to do was, you know, Terry had a reputation for being sullen and surly and hostile with fans and with his own teammates, and there's an element of truth in that. But I wanted to give him a chance to speak for himself, so what I just did was tried to see his side of the story. It takes time, you know, to absorb enough details and to reach a person to the point where you feel some sort of confidence doing that.
Right.
So 10 years, pretty much, was the period that I spent on it.
Now, for those who aren't maybe familiar with hockey, just maybe know the name Terry, but when did he die?
Terry died in 1970. He was 40 years old. He was still actively playing. He was on the New York Rangers roster. So, you know, one of the titles I toyed around with was the long career and short life of Terry Sajak. He was a hockey player all his life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always kind of a mystery as to how he had died. He'd been involved in a scrap with one of his, a roommate and a teammate, the same time, but my book doesn't deal with that because I wasn't really interested in what happened at the end of Terry's life. I was more concerned with why it happened, and that put the focus for me squarely on what life was like as a goaltender in the NHL in the six-team league in the 50s, you know, 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. What? So where did you get a lot of your material?
Well, I read a lot, of course, and I knew a lot. Well, I'd forgotten that I knew it, but I read a lot. My brother was a great source for me. I mean, I know the game of hockey, but I didn't know the professional game. And my brother is very quiet, very observant kind of person, and he was able to provide me with the kinds of things the guys would or wouldn't talk about on the bus, for example. You know. And then I interviewed. I spent a lot of time talking to players from that period and referees from that period and fans from that period. You know, I must have talked to 40 or 50 of the players from Terry's day. And I had it all in my head. I just carried this around in my head, and then I just started writing the poems. They came out one at a time without any particular idea of organization. It just kind of spilled out of me, and I got very close to him, I think. I hope I did.
Neat. Now, what influence do you think that Terry's Ukrainian background had on his professional success and or the tragic aspects of his personal life?
Well, you know, I'm sure that it did. I mean, it's always, you hate to be presumptuous and say, well, I understood this about his life. I'm sure that it did. I think, you know, just in being an immigrant, living in, like they lived in the North End, which would have been one of the poorer parts of the city. I mean, you could be Jewish, you could be, you know, any generation if you come out of the poorer part of town, and any immigrant's going to do that, you know. I think that was a problem with him to some extent. I mean, he was a very proud guy, so it would have affected him in that way. I don't know whether, you know, the stereotype of the doer slab, I don't know if there's any truth to that or not, but I mean, he was a man who seemed to be unhappy so much of the time. He lost a brother. His brother was 18 when he died. Terry was 11. That's got nothing to do with where you come from.
Right.
His mother, that was the second son, his mother lost, and she kind of withdrew from Terry at that point. So, you know, again, that's something I think that shaped his personality. It's got nothing to do with his Ukrainian background.
Right.
In the West, all of us were brought up to keep things inside, keep things to yourself. Is that Ukrainian or is that Western? Is that Presbyterian?
Right.
you know, I'm sure that his Ukrainianness shaped his personality, obviously, in his character, but I just think it was broader than that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're not of Ukrainian background yourself. You did say earlier that you're second-generation Canadian, though.
I'm kind of a mixture. We're Swedish and Irish and West Country English, which is Celtic, you know. So, I mean, I understand that whole thing as well.
Sure.
But, you know, it seemed to me that people in Western Canada, you know, are used to new Canadians. You come to Newfoundland, my God. I've been in Newfoundland 32 years. It's still you're from away. You know, it's an older culture.
Interesting.
It seemed to me that the West was more open. But you know, on the other hand, I mean, Margaret Lawrence wrote a wonderful novel, A Jest of God, that deals with the I don't know if you know that book, but it deals with a Ukrainian person and the kind of situation that he was in, and it wasn't pretty. There was a sense of that discrimination, absolutely, for sure. And I think that maybe Terry felt that, you know.
Mm. Now, you're you've been in Newfoundland for 32 years. You played hockey in Winnipeg, but you're actually a Vancouver boy.
Yes, well, that's right. Yeah, though, that's right. And my dad was Air Force, Canadian Air Force, so I've lived right across this country, and I consider myself a Canadian rather than a Newfoundlander or a British Columbian.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only province I haven't lived in is PEI, but I think I just try to hold the whole country in my head, and it's a marvelous place to be.
Absolutely.
And it was certainly a great place to be last month.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. Yeah, it was great to be here in Vancouver too last month.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, you still hold Vancouver though, kind of as home.
Yes, I do. I won't come back there. The west coast of Newfoundland is my home now. My ashes go down this river that I'm looking at right now, out through the window. But it still feels like home, you know, when I go back there, and maybe the prairie even more. I mean, Vancouver's changed so much since I was a kid. I'm quite partial to the islands still, but I go back on the prairie. I was back in Winnipeg. I launched this book at the Hockey Hall of Fame, but I wanted to go right away to Winnipeg to launch it with the Ukrainian community, and so we went in and did a launch there. And you know, Winnipeg has not changed that much. It's almost kind of like in a time warp. My house is there, the garage was there.
Almost, isn't it?
Well, the rink was there where we used to play. It was quite wonderful in a way, you know.
And Billy Mozienko's bowling lane alley is there too, right?
Absolutely. No, it was just great to be back there. Very moving experience, that whole thing. So the Cubs are just kind of flowed out of that, and which is why I think I've been so moved by the whole thing.
Mm. Now, you are going to be here in Vancouver very soon, though.
Yeah.
And you'll be reading from your book?
Yes, I am. I'm reading on the 1st of April with Elizabeth Bashinsky, who was also shortlisted for the Cubs R, and we're reading at the UBC Bookstore, which is in Robson Square.
Okay, right downtown Vancouver. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. Well, thanks so much for speaking with us, and congratulations again on your award.
So nice
and
to talk to you, Pauline.
It was wonderful. Thank you. And have a good trip out to Vancouver, and hope to meet up with you when you're here.
Yes, I hope we do, too.
Thanks, and congratulations again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And I was speaking with Randall Maggs, the recipient of the 2010 Cobser Literary Award for his acclaimed hockey saga, Night Work, the Sawchuk Poems. More details will be on the Nash Holis website, which is nashholis.com.
Маришка, чи черри, чи черри, чи черри, розчишими кучері, 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 розчишими кучері, кучері, кучері.
Я би тобі чесала, чесала, чесала,
коби мати не знала, не знала, не знала, коби мати не знала, не знала, не знала.
Мати буде дивитися, будеся дивити,
я ся буду ганьбити, будуся ганьбити, я ся буду ганьбити, будуся ганьбити.
Марічко, люблю тя, люблю тя.
Заріж мені когуття, когуття, когуття. Заріж мені когуття, когуття, когуття.
Ой,
Маричко, чичерри, чичерри, чичерри.
Розчеши ми кучері, кучері, кучері. Розчеши ми кучері, кучері, кучері.
A traditional Ukrainian folk song for you there called Oy Marichko, performed for you by Anatoly Rudenko and the folklore band Kyiv from Ukraine. Up next, another Ukrainian group, and this is a very old-sounding musical form. It is called Bili Holos, which means clear voice, pure voice, and it is a style of singing that is indigenous, I guess, to Eastern Europe, not just Ukraine. The Les Mystères Bulgares is another group that sings similarly to this. Here they are now. The group is called Volodar, which means master, overlord, overseer. And a song called Oy Khodimo Divchata Kupatsya, which means let's go swimming, girls.
Oy Khodimo Divchata Kupatsya. Попили віки ночок до краю, а я свого батика гуляю, а я в свого попелив, попелив віки ночок вздовж ріки, отдав мене батинку навіки.
For the very best in Ukrainian music from all corners of the globe, tune in to Nash Holos, coming to you courtesy Keith Perron and PCJ Media. This broadcast will be archived at the PCJ Media website, which is www.pcjmedia.com. You can find out more about Nash Holos and catch the local Vancouver broadcast at the Nash Holos website, which is nashholos.com, or just Google Ukrainian Radio Vancouver. Well, our time together is coming to a close, but before we wrap up, some Ukrainian words of wisdom. Не згадуй про те, що ти колись мав, але думай і роби, щоб тепер ти його дістав. And this week's Ukrainian proverb translates as forget about what you once had and think about what you will have. And that brings us to the end of our program. So our final selection is a polka by the Ukrainian old-timers of Winnipeg, and it features the heel and the toe of one's foot in a very prominent role. It's called the Heel and Toe Polka. I'm Pavlina Demchuk-McQuarrie on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Media. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time, do pobaczenia.